Hello, listeners. Welcome to Bunk Radio.
Hi.
Hi. That's Kyle.
Yep, and that's Peter.
Hi.
We're back with another episode.
Kyle and I just spent about a half hour ranting about
technology, I guess.
Well, first it was about Shaq and Kickstarter, and then it turned into the evolution of smartphones and wearable technology. We did.
And you won't get to hear any of it because I'm stupid and didn't think to record our conversation.
Well, it has nothing to do with our show, though. So
90% of what we talk about has nothing to do with our show, Peter.
That's true. Yeah.
I think that's part of what, that's the, like one of the only reasons people would ever want to listen to it is when we don't talk about funk.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah. So there's some bonus content that went out the window.
Yeah.
But we have a thing we are going to talk about while the mics are recording.
Mics are hot.
Yeah.
Dead air.
We'll do it live.
Speaking of Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, was Bill O'Reilly the one who said that originally?
Yeah. That was where that whole meme came from. He got pissed off at like the teleprompter people because they fucked some shit up. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to do it live.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but now I can't read it. There's no words on it. Okay, what is
for credits?
I don't know what that means to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
Well, we don't need to go into...
No, we're good.
...depth just with the...
The news.
Follow,
the news the is out there. He got fired.
O'Reilly. Yeah. So, the topic for today. Kind of an album review, although it's technically an EP. By the... I don't remember exactly what they refer to themselves as, but... the band is Miami Horror. Like, I'm trying to think of what like genre they're considered.
Electro pop.
It's electro, like indie electro pop or something. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But we did review their last full album. What is it called? All Possible Futures.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of, I guess, was it 2015? We reviewed two albums in one episode, which was like each of our favorite albums of the year.
That's right. Yep.
And you did, I believe, the Rat-a-Tat album, of which name I can't remember what it's called.
Oh my God, I'm spacing too, and I liked that album. It's something by Rat-a-Tat. Chrome.
Well, Cream on Chrome was like the big single from that album, but I don't know if that's what it was called. Anyway, doesn't matter. So we have talked about this band, Miami Horror, once before. So, I mean, they're not like funk specifically, but they have a really cool sound in terms of being really influenced by like 1980s pop music in a way. And this recent EP they just came out with last month on March 17th, our birthday. We were on hiatus during that time. But anyway, this thing they released is called The Shapes, and it's a 5-track EP. Where basically it was, it's an experimental project on their part of just going all out, sounding as 80s as possible with their style.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they describe it, I believe, is on their website that I got this from. It says, quote, "Miami Horror's conceptual new release is a unique 5-track release that sees them step out of their comfort zone. The Shapes combines upbeat percussive grooves and experimental vocal styles that echo post-new wave groups of the 80s.
New wave, that's the genre term I was thinking of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a proto-punk pop thing.
Yeah, and so actually, for a quick sound comparison of a band from the 80s, you and I, before we started recording, Kyle, where we both mentioned the Talking Heads as being probably the closest or one of the closest comparisons you can make in terms of like the sound that they... came up with in this release. And I know they have said outright too that that was one of their biggest inspirations in making this. I found it kind of personally interesting that they said this was going outside of their comfort zone, because the 80s influence in their sound was clear in their last album. It's not like they've never done this before.
Yeah.
So there are only 5 tracks. So my original thought was maybe we should just go track by track and talk about each one. But almost all of them sound very similar to each other. Mm-hmm. At least similar enough that I feel like it would almost, we wouldn't have really much to say different about each one. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should just talk about it overall as a project rather than just song by song.
Sure.
Well, we could still play clips from a couple of them, definitely. But even having listened to it numerous times since it was released, I can't say with confidence that I would have like very different things to say about each song.
Agreed. Do you have a favorite song if you had to pick one?
That's tough. I really like the third track, Layla. They actually released that as a single, I would say maybe no more than a month before this came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the one track I was at least a little bit familiar with before it came out.
Looking in the mirror for all I used to know, I just can't believe it. Layla, why did you leave again? Stay home.
Most of the others are almost on the same level as that for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how about you? I know you haven't listened to it quite as much as I have.
No, I've only listened to it full through like 1.5 times.
Hmm.
But I don't know why I really liked The Sign of the Times. That's the one that reminded me the most of Talking Heads, if I had to pick one. But I like the Talking Heads.
So yeah, yeah.
Definitely, I would say that song probably my favorite.
Don't even recognize my face anymore.
By this point, I've spliced in a couple of short clips of songs that we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So listeners by now should have at least some vague idea of what the general sound of this EP is. I will say probably my least favorite on this is the fourth track, Azimba, which it sounds the most different from all the other ones. And it's much more of like I'm trying to think of what like the actual term for it is. But it's got more of like a Afro beat sort of, or like Afro pop sort of 80s sound to it.
Yeah.
I think you and I have actually mentioned in the past that for whatever reason, during the 1980s, there was much more of like an emergence of world influence and African music in pop culture.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly that, that it seemed like in the 80s that Afrobeat sound suddenly became really big with a lot of artists.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the AIDS thing. I don't know if it was just people started paying attention to Africa more because of apartheid and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it definitely had a big influence on a lot of music in the 80s. And obviously they were trying to reflect that in this song. Yeah. Funny thing was that this actually was not one of my favorites. Maybe because...
That song, you mean?
Yeah, maybe because, I don't know, I've overheard that Afrobeat sort of style. So I'm like, oh, okay, they're copying a copy of that kind of thing, whatever. But yeah, I don't know, this was probably like my bottom of the list, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. But not in itself, it's not a bad song. And if it was part of a bigger album, I think I might not look down on it as much. But since it's 1 out of 5 songs and all the other 4 sound very similar to each other, except for this one,
it kind of stands out.
It feels a little out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, I would almost, if they're going to like experiment with different things from that era, I would almost rather they have
5 totally different songs.
Yeah. Or at least some more, variance between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have grown to like that song a bit more too, just over time being more familiar with it, but it does still feel out of place. But overall, no, I really enjoy this release, even though it's only maybe 20 minutes long, if that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's exactly. This is a stupid aside. Did we ever discuss what EP stands for? In a general sense.
We may have at some point. It's extended play or something, right?
Yeah.
As a reminder, I guess, for those who don't know, an EP is basically something between a single and
an LP,
which is a full album. An EP is usually in the range of, it's usually probably between like 4 and 6 songs, roughly. And usually, yeah, so it's obviously a shorter release than a full album, and it usually is for the purpose of the artist feels like doing something a little bit different than usual without committing an entire album to it.
Yeah, and usually those types of releases are popular with, like, you know, indie bands or smaller groups, because it lets them do more than just release singles but not have to put the concentration into an entire album if they just want to experiment or whatever.
Yeah.
I like this experimentation that they're doing, and I hope that they can kind of integrate this more back into their regular releases, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Sorry. Overall, do you not? I mean, do you?
I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I like this experiment they're doing, but I don't want them to. I don't want them to use this experiment to say, "Oh, let's totally revitalize our sound to sound like this." You know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, you wouldn't want an entire album that sounded like this.
Yes. I like that they're experimenting. I like that they kind of are trying to dive more into that sort of 80s new wave proto-punk sound, as you said.
Right.
But I think maybe the focus on this, maybe that's the thing. Maybe the focus on a lot of these songs was very lyrical, which is a bit different from their normal thing, because their stuff is very much more either, I guess, electronic, where there are no lyrics, or it's more dance music. Maybe this is where it got them out of their comfort zones. This didn't feel like dance music to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you actually made a good point with the lyrical style too. Definitely is more evocative of bands like the Talking Heads or other stuff from that kind of new wave era.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little bit, the vocal style is a little bit different from what they usually do. So I can see how they're kind of trying to emulate that a bit more, not only with the music but with the vocals. Personally, I wouldn't, if they kind of see, I guess I feel kind of the opposite of you on this point. You know, since we reviewed their album, you know, whenever that was, a year and a half ago, whatever that was, which was their second album, which had a bit of this sort of style but not completely. Listening to their first album that was released a number of years before that, there's none of that kind of style at all, and it's a bit different. I don't quite like that album as much. But again, like in a lot of cases of the debut album, like sometimes a band they're still trying to find their focus, you know? So, it's not a bad album. There's some really good songs on it, but generally I don't like it as much. Whereas I like the direction this is going. So if they did start to do more stuff like this in their future albums, I wouldn't mind at all. But I can see how if you like some of their other stuff, that going straight to like all this would be maybe not the ideal direction.
I think what it comes down to for me is, even on their second album, that album had a very sort of warm summertime feel to it. Very poolside like.
Yeah.
Who we've also discussed on this show. But this new single of theirs, although, like I said, I don't mind it, I like the style they're doing, I feel like I would listen to these two, that album and this EP, in two very different situations. Almost like they feel like two different bands because of that. Although I like what they're doing here, I don't want them to forego doing their other more lively, danceable summer music in favor of this. If they want to do this separately or intermingle these types of songs with that and have more variants, great, cool. I like variants in LPs. I don't like when all the songs sound the same. But I think yeah, what it comes down to for me is their last album that we reviewed, The All Possible Futures, I could see myself listening to in the car in the summer with windows down. I can't see myself doing that with this EP.
Hmm.
So
I'm no, sorry. Yeah, that's a really good perspective, and not something I really thought about. I mean, with that concern, I think you'll probably be fine, just because it's a shorter, like, experimental project and not a full release.
True.
This would imply that this is not, like, what they're going to be doing full-time in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no, you do have a really good point, though. They are definitely strong in, like, their own style, you know, that isn't necessarily this.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be considered a bit of a bummer, I guess, if they stopped doing that other stuff and stuck only to this kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say a perfect example similar to this, the album we just reviewed for a while back for Childish Gambino. Totally awesome album. Loved that it sounded like R&B, but part of me is a little sad if he doesn't end up going back to rap music, because that's what I liked him for initially.
Right. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good comparison.
It's frustrating because as a fan of artists like Childish Gambino and like Miami Horror, I don't want to punish them or put them down for going out of the comfort zones and, you know, trying out different genres, different sounds. But as a fan, usually as a fan, you fall in love with the artist or you like the artist because they create a specific sound that you like. Now, if they go off and experiment and hit on another sound that you also like, then, you know, great, that's cool, but then there's always going to be a part of you that says, oh man, I wish they went back to their roots and sounded like their original stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So as a fan, there's always that fear that if they change directions pretty drastically, that they're just going to leave all their, original music behind and go off in some new genre that some of their fans may not like. I mean, I guess there's always that risk as an artist, so I can't fault them for it, but...
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I'm torn. I don't know. And I'm not saying at all that I don't like this. I'm just saying I like this.
You wouldn't want them to do it, like, completely.
Yeah, I like this in a different way than I liked their last album.
Yeah.
Almost like I wish this was a different band, and I could find a band that has these types of songs, but then I wouldn't be losing Miami Horror for it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You know? No, yeah. To break up our talking for a second, listeners, I'm just going to go ahead and play a clip from track two, Trapeze. Not that we really have much to say about these, but I'm just going to toss in these clips.
Yeah, so you guys get a sense of what we're talking about.
Yeah, to break up our talking a little bit. Something you mentioned to me, I think it was before we started recording, Kyle. You said that you really liked the album art for this.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It felt very 80s.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, I assume they were kind of going for an 80s feel. I don't know. For those of you that don't know, listeners, or that are blind, like Stevie Wonder.
is he, though?
True. Find out in our last episode. it's the four members wearing four different pastel, very 80s looking suits. And I don't know why. I mean, it's a very simple cover, but it sums up the 80s in a very minimalist way, if that makes sense, that I like. I mean, they could have done any number of things to have been like, oh, this is the 80s. But this seems almost like a modern art way of doing it, if that makes sense.
Well, something that's interesting to me that kind of stems off from this is that if you go onto their website and read like the full description of what this EP is, what do they say? They call it a visionary project that focuses on the amalgamation between music and visual art. As part of the release, they're working closely with their favorite visual artists on a series of murals, art cars, and collaborations around the world that are set to inject color back into daily life. So I haven't personally seen any examples of that, really, of like that art aspect of it versus just like the album artwork. Mm-hmm. But according to them, like the whole conceptual idea behind this EP is extended beyond the music into actual like art installations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, is pretty neat.
Yeah. And that's one thing the 80s was definitely known for, was very loud contrasting colors, which, you know, that's, it's not a bad thing. It seems like more and more we're moving towards like dystopian gray in a lot of things. Speaking of which, apparently, again, I don't know if this was like some sort of April Fool's joke or something, but it was just talked about last week. McDonald's, the food company, released some sort of concepts of a new uniform for their workers. And the uniforms were all monochrome gray. And people were like, what the fuck is this, like some Hunger Games shit? and everyone was making fun of it, saying, oh, it looks like Logan's Run, the old sci-fi movie, or, you know, oh, look, it's McDonald's, it's District 11, the beef packing district. and, you know, it became like a big internet joke, but it's like, it's kind of funny that, like, McDonald's is a company that you instantly think, boom, red and yellow, that's their colors, yeah. Would be thinking of switching to this kind of monochromatic feel. I'm like, okay.
So do you know if they actually...
I don't know if they're intending to. I don't know if it's just like a test or a prototype.
Well, looking at a picture here that I found, so there's two things that I can think of with that. Mm-hmm. One of them being perhaps the more drab gray outfits allow for more contrast with the restaurant itself. Maybe if that remains more colorful.
Good point.
My other thought would be these. These outfits look a little bit more like baristas almost. And I know that over the years, McDonald's has tried to become a little bit, for lack of a better term, fancier and more like almost like a coffee shop vibe, mm-hmm. versus like a fast food chain. Whether or not they're actually successful or not, I have no idea, because I don't really ever go. But I can see how the style of the clothing, not necessarily the colors, but just the like, I don't know anything about fashion whatsoever, but just like the style of the clothing I can see kind of mimics that a little bit. But yeah, the colors, I don't really know why. They could have had at least some kind of accent color in there or something.
True. It does seem that these uniform changes are reflecting current fashion changes, which seems to be leaning towards, you know, single color palettes, monochrome, or shades of a specific color. Not that I'm a fashion freak or anything. But, you know, when I walk past those H&M stores and stuff and you see all those posters, it's like, that's what it looks like right now. Mm-hmm. It's funny that I'm even mentioning this because last night I watched a film called The Founder with Michael Keaton talking about the guy who basically founded McDonald's. It's kind of fucked up. He basically... short summary, two brothers called the McDonald's brothers, Mick McDonald and Dave, whatever, had a restaurant in San Bernardino, of all places, called McDonald's. This guy saw that this revolutionary system where, because again, this is like 1954 or something, where you could get your food really freaking fast. And he's like, what the hell? This is amazing. They give him a tour of the kitchen. They show him their like super efficient system for doing things. And he's like, this is amazing. He convinced them to franchise this idea and open more than just that one restaurant, with him being the first franchisee. And then he would license that franchise idea to other people. But because they were the owners of the idea, he still had to go through them for changes or updates. And because they were kind of so focused on their one store, they were slow to approve changes that he wanted to make. So basically he said, well, fuck this. Rather than, you know, me making money from the franchising of these stores, I'm going to buy plots of land, and then lease that land to the franchisee so they have to pay me rent.
Oh my God.
And then because they have to pay me rent, as the landowner, I could basically have creative decisions over what they do in the restaurant. Basically say, if you don't do what I say, you know, I'm canceling your lease, kind of thing.
That's interesting.
So he used that to circumvent these two McDonald's brothers to the point that he basically bought their name and basically said, you know, by you selling it to me, you can't use the name McDonald anymore, and basically ran him out of business. What was most fucked up was at the end of the movie, because they had their restaurant in San Bernardino, he had just, he paid them each like $1.3 million, and basically fucked them out of any royalties from the use of the name McDonald's. So they had the restaurant, and they had to change the name, and they changed it to like Big M's or something. He literally built a McDonald's restaurant across the street.
Oh my God.
After it was already.
So this is a true story, this whole thing?
Yes. He was considered the founder of McDonald's, not because he came up with the idea of fast food, which McDonald's really was the first fast food restaurant.
Right.
It was because he basically took the idea from these two guys and found a way to mass brand it and create a chain restaurant, which the McDonald's basically was both the first fast food and the first national chain restaurant. Before that, it was all mom and pop stuff. So, right. Yeah.
Well, to break us up again, listeners, let's
eat some McDonald's.
Let's play a little clip from Dark Love, the fifth and final track from this EP. I can see danger, a little confusion. I can see you when I escape the illusion. I can see you, dark love, light me up. Take me to the places you dream. I sent you a couple of images I found online to give you an idea of kind of like the style that they're
of their art installations or what?
Yeah, I can't really tell. I think the car
God, that's so
that they have driving around is a thing. I don't really know of other installations they have currently.
Huh.
To be fair, this EP just did come out about a month ago, so they may be planning to do some of these like over a longer period of time.
Gotcha.
But yeah, a lot of emphasis on like the random little shapes and bright colors and stuff that you see on a lot of 80s and 80s throwback sort of artwork.
Yeah, very
stark colors on top of white background, that sort of thing.
Exactly, very 80s modern art. Yeah, I like it. It reminds me of like that, you know, the famous 90s cup with the blue and purple squiggle.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that kind of, even though that's 90s.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. You were talking. I'm not gonna go very far with this, but you know, you were talking about the whole McDonald's thing. The last week or so, I finished reading a biography on Fred Meyer, who that is. Basically that's a big store chain in the Northwest U.S. states. Listeners, if you don't know,
is that the place I love?
Yes, it is. Yay. The place you love, Kyle. But it's interesting because the man himself, Fred Meyer, was like very entrepreneurial in terms of like running a store, and had this like was one of like the founders of the idea that you would have like everything under one roof, a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like it was him, the guy who founded Walmart, I think, and I think maybe one other person,
Mr. Target,
who basically kind of had the same idea at the same time in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And basically turned the industry from a separate store for everything like your drugs, your food, your, you know,
clothing. Mm-hmm.
He was one of the few people who pioneered the idea that you can actually go to one store and get a whole lot of different types of things, which obviously is true of that store chain now. But, you know, I think it was just interesting reading the history of like how he, you know, created that kind of shift and how people thought about shopping. Anyway, the relevance here is that you were talking about the guy with the McDonald's, like buying up the land.
Yep.
And then using that to control, whatever
control
the,
sort of the restaurants.
Yeah. The connection here is that Fred Meyer, I guess, was also, big on not only like running stores, but also, like real estate investment and stuff like that. And so he had his own company or multiple companies, real estate companies that owns the land that his stores were built on.
Yeah.
So that he was basically not only paying rent to himself, but paying rent at like a way lower cost than if he was paying somebody else, because he controlled what that cost was. or I don't remember. I don't know exactly how it worked, but
I see what you're saying. That's kind of messed up.
So, I mean, if you're really smart, you can do stuff like that. And I think he got sued a lot of times for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, how, what kind of business ethics lines does that cross? Where you, if you as a person own two businesses that interact with each other, you're kind of double dipping in the profits because you're profiting off yourself. I don't know how that works.
Exactly. Yeah, me neither. I don't know like the full extent of how it works, but I know that was like one of the practices that helped like grow that chain substantially was like owning the company that owned the land that the store was built on, stuff like that. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as we were saying at the beginning, it has nothing to do with the show at all or this EP. But I don't really think there's really a whole lot else we can say about this EP. I mean, it is fairly short. We played clips for all the songs. We did a pretty good job, I think, explaining the sound and, you know, how it is a little bit of a divergence from their general
style. And I went on my
style.
I went on my episode rant for the episode, so.
You went on a couple. You went on a rant against them, and then you went a rant against McDonald's.
It wasn't a rant against them.
I'm kidding.
God. Fucking Miami Horror, they're full of shit.
I guess we did some double dipping this episode as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's definitely worth listening to, listeners, if you want to check it out. So if you have Spotify or something, I think they also have it all on SoundCloud too, if I remember correctly.
Cool.
But if you are so inclined, it's only $5 if you want to buy it.
Nice.
So
it's like a dollar a song.
Yeah.
If you like what you heard, listeners, you can, as Peter said, find more Miami Horror on Spotify and SoundCloud. You can also find us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/getyourfunk. You can tell us how much you hate us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. We are also on Google Play as well as Mixcloud, where you can find all of our back catalog. SoundCloud only has our most recent 5 or 6. If you liked Miami Horror, or if you think of any other artists kind of in that genre that you'd like us to review albums for, let us know on our various mediums, social platforms.
That'd be cool, yeah.
So, this has been your hot 80s host, Kyle.
And this has been Peter.
Peter's not hot.
Yeah.
Peter's not fetch. Stop trying to make that word. God. Did you ever watch Mean Girls?
Well, the movie?
Yes, the movie. What else is there?
I don't know. Yes, I have seen the movie, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I should watch that again. It was actually not terribly bad. Okay.
No, I remember that being pretty good.
Yeah. Bye, listeners. We love you. Stay tuned.
We're going to leave you now before we go on a 10-minute conversation about Mean Girls.
You mean Kyle goes on 10-minute conversation about Mean Girls. Okay, bye.
Oh, boy.
Bye, we love you.